Welcome to the Small Business Big Mindset Podcast, where we dive into tactical strategies to grow your business and make an impact on this world. A huge part of success is keeping your mindset and vision on track. So this is a major part of our process and this podcast. Let's do this. Welcome to the Small Business Big Mindset Podcast. This week we have Dan Mott, founder of 6-3 Media. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Aaron. I'm super happy to be here. I always love hanging out with you and creating content, so I'm glad we get to do it just mano a mano.
I know, how awesome. So listeners, for those of you that do not know, Dan and I used to host a weekly live show on LinkedIn called Power Hour, along with our colleagues, Claire Davis and Matt Zahn. So this is like super special that Dan and I get to kind of buddy up and chat today. So Dan, will you let us know a little bit about you and your background and how you got started?
Yeah, definitely. So I spent about 10 years in B2B sales and marketing before I finally quit my job and started working for myself. My first job out of college, I worked for a multi-level marketing firm. I was assigned a zip code and told to walk down Main Street and hard close businesses in their place of, like in their office. And I was like, sales sucks. I don't want to do this.
This is awful.
So I got into marketing from there and I was like, this is much better. I really enjoy this. I started off as entry-level marketing role. I worked my way up in the same agency up to director of marketing. I took over a portion of the agency business. So as I kind of like moved into more of a management role, I kind of got pushed back into a sales role, and I like just had such bad past experiences from it. I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to cold call people. I don't want to like be doing all these things. This is not attractive to me. So I kind of like saw what was coming. I prepared myself. I was like, I need to quit my job. I literally quit my job because I hated sales. And then I got home and I started setting up in the office that I'm standing in right now in my home office. And I was like, crap, I need to do sales. Because I mean, right, if I'm going to work for myself, I need to support my family. If I'm going to be able to do that, I need to focus on building and growing my business, which heavily relies on me being able to find clients to do so. So I quit my job because I hated sales. And I said, how can I do this, right? I don't want to go cold call people. I don't want to go use automation to spam people on LinkedIn or even send like 9-touch email sequences to a list of emails that I scraped off from online, right? So I was like, there has to be a better way. What is that way? How can I make this work for me? And it took me a long time to figure it out. I'd say like the better part of 3 years before I really truly had my system dialed in. And my focus was on, well, how do I just build better relationships? How do I use my personal brand? I went all in on LinkedIn. How do I use my personal brand to just build relationships, get to know people that matter, right? That will help me, right? Just like you and everyone else that we've collaborated with over the years. How do these relationships impact me from a marketing perspective, from a business development perspective, just everything? I realized that was the part that I hated about sales, is because I was always in bad sales roles, ones that were just kind of like hard closing or like just trying to open up conversations, or even at one point in my career, more of like an order taker. And I never really had that true sales experience of being like, I get to own relationships with people. I get to build relationships with them, get to know them more than just beyond like buy my stuff, get to know them and their families. And that was something that really, truly resonated with me. And that's what helped me kind of overcome that thing of sales sucks to now I'm like, sales is great because it's not sales. It's just networking. It's just me getting to chat with people that I like and work with people that I like and help them because, hey, here's what I'm really great at. And here's how I can support you.
Yeah. And I love that. And we've had this conversation before where, you know, you are such a, you're such a connector, right? And it's like, and you really love getting to know people and what makes them tick and the story behind what they're doing, you know? And so I love that you turn that amazing trait that you have, into a way that can grow your business and you can help other people grow theirs. So that's incredible. And that's really what we want to talk about during this episode is it really is social selling, right? And so in your platform of choice is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is, I mean, I spend most of my time on LinkedIn rather than the other platforms. You know, I was on Facebook and running Facebook ads, and then I was like, okay, Instagram's the thing. Now I'm on Instagram, you know, and then, but honestly, LinkedIn, it seems to be where it's at for a lot more people than where used to be. So can we kind of dive into there? Like, what is it about LinkedIn? And then also, like, you know, if you're going to sell on LinkedIn, please, 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 for the love of Mike, share with us, like, how and like how to get started. I don't know. Where do you want to start? It's such a big topic.
Yeah, I guess let's kind of like dive into LinkedIn first. I'm with you. I'm actually, I've deleted all the other apps from my phone. I don't log into any other social platform. I exclusively use LinkedIn. And purely why I chose LinkedIn over the rest is just because, and I think that LinkedIn over the years, like what have they been in business for? Like LinkedIn's been around for like 12, 15 years, something like that. It started off as like an online resume, right? Like, and I think that people always kind of see it as the same thing until they actually kind of get involved and start creating content and start engaging and start building a community there. But it's, I mean, like the one thing that LinkedIn really has going for it is the fact that it's centered around business, right? Like there, yes, like on Facebook, there are definitely communities that are business centric. On Twitter, the same, on any social platform. But there's no other social platform that is literally dedicated exclusively to business, right? Like building, promoting your business, building business-focused relationships, finding events, whether it's, you know, digitally or in person, or I mean everything. It's the sole purpose for people to be there is to talk about business, to talk about their business. So it's really kind of this cool thing that just can't be experienced anywhere else. And it really does. I think social media does this for like all social platforms do this, but it kind of lowers the barrier to entry. Whereas like in traditional sales, you talk about like the gatekeeper. You know, when I used to walk down Main Street, I'd walk into the building, the business owner wouldn't be sitting at the front desk, right? You have to talk to the person in the front desk to get an introduction to the person in the back. As long as someone is active on LinkedIn, you can build a relationship with anyone, regardless of who they are, regardless of who you are, as long as you say the right thing. And that's really where the power of LinkedIn comes from. It's just like, you have access to anyone in the world as long as they're on the platform, which is most people. But you can start talking to the CEO of Google. Like you can talk to anyone you want. Now, obviously, it's a lot harder to get in touch with them. But again, it goes back to if you say the right thing. And a lot of that time, that comes down to what does that person care about, and what do you care about, and where is that intersection? Where do you align? And that's not always business. In fact, I'm an advocate of it not being business first, because it's a lot easier to talk to someone and then identify like, oh, do you do this? I do this. Cool. How can we help each other out?
Yes, for sure. And how do you start those conversations, you know, or let's back up even. How do you, first you have to identify who you're looking for, right? And then once you have a solid idea of exactly who your target audience is, your target contact is, you know, is it just as simple as kind of going through their profile and picking up on anything you guys have in common, you know, like, and then you kind of like start from there? Or how do you try to frame it, like when you're teaching people how to do this?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess I'll kind of go through, there's five principles that I've developed for LinkedIn social selling. And the first one is audience, exactly to your point, right? Like you have to know who you're going after, who is your ideal client, who are the people that you actively want to build relationships with. Whether you are looking for a customer or a business partner or a collaborator or an investor, right? There's so many different kinds of business relationships that we can try and build, establish, and maintain through LinkedIn. So it really comes down to am I trying to find a client, or am I trying to find a business partner? Who am I trying to find? So knowing who those people are, who those key influencers for your business are, is going to be the first step, because that dictates the copy that you have on your profile, which is the second principle, the content that you produce, how you engage people, and how you prospect in general, which are the five principles that I teach. So 100% knowing who they are. Basically, it comes down to a combination of both creating relevant content and engaging people, both privately and publicly. So replying to comments or sending people DMs. So that's kind of like the winning formula right there. So when you start posting relevant content, relevant people start to engage with you. And because they've seen your content, it's super easy for you to DM them and say, hey, thanks for the comment, or love what you said, blah, blah, blah. And right, that's your opportunity to connect and start a conversation. So rather than just kind of like going down, you know, building a list and saying like, all right, these are the people that I want to reach out to, and I'm going to cold message them and tell them, here's what I do. you are organically finding them through content and conversation. And now we're no longer strangers on the internet. We're at a, right? Like I always kind of use the metaphor of LinkedIn as like an in-person event, right? Like you just came out of a session and you're walking up to the bar to grab a drink and you see a person next to you ordering the same beer and you make a comment on that. And then 10 minutes later, you're down in a discussion about how you two are in the same industry and like how you could potentially work together, right? So it's like all about this serendipitous like introductions, right? Like meeting people because you were talking about the same thing in the same circles. Mm-hmm. So I always use that for like, that's how I find my people. I know who I'm going after. I'm now going to create the content that attracts that type of person or talk to people who are saying the same things because that's where I'm going to go find my people. And in finding them, it's through content, through conversation. So I literally just pick up where I left off. It's not like I have to try and figure out like, what is this person going to like, I don't have to try and guess like what's their favorite sports team or do they have kids or yes or no? Like what topics can I kind of say to them that'll help me start the conversation? They're already engaged like in a conversation with other people. You're just kind of walking into the circle and just kind of taking you like becoming a part of the conversation that's already happening.
Yeah, that's great because so many people will start out as like, oh, we went to the mm-hmm. same school. Let's start chatting about that. But which can work. However, it is a longer road, right? And so with the way that the tactic that you're explaining, it's like start with the content and then you're already reaching the people you want to reach. And then you can kind of like kick up a conversation that way rather than it's like, yes, you can go like, oh, go Gators. We went to the same school and, you know, and then kind of like meander your way over. And so the part of that is, you have to create content and post content that people are going to engage with. And I think that's a lot of the battle, right? Is that you're creating this content and getting people to engage. A lot of people are lurkers. And so you may not know like, oh, you know, they may not comment. They may not like, they may not share. So what, do you have any tips on that? Like, you know, that's part of social selling, right? You got to post stuff that people are actually going to engage with.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll kind of go into the lurkers comment because lurkers, right? There's a bunch of people who are on LinkedIn daily who are not creating content or even engaging, right? They're not even kind of just reacting. And I actually do this on any other social platform. I just sit there and I scroll feed. That's all I do. I never react. I never comment. I'm never on there, but like when I am, right? That's actually why I deleted them because I was like, what am I doing? This is a waste of time for me. Mm-hmm. So. Like I, you know, there's a lot of people who do that and there's no way to start a conversation, right? Cause you don't know that they're there. So there's no way to start the conversation. It's not like they commented on your post or someone else's post that you know, and you're like, oh, I can pick up off that. Right. So what's really cool about LinkedIn, well, you need, this is actually the only reason I can justify having a paid version of LinkedIn is because they actually let you see who views your profile. Mm-hmm. So people can lurk for forever and ever. And a lot of creators will be like, I got this message the other day from someone who told me that they've been following me for 18 months and I've never even heard of them before, right? Like they were lurking, they were viewing your content daily, constantly, but never showed up. So you didn't know that they were there. But when they come and view your profile, they're kind of like coming out of hiding. They're poking their head out to see what's going on in your profile. And that's where you can see that they're viewing your profile. So like I have a whole, right, like I simply just message those people. I quickly go look at their profile. Is this person qualified? Do I actually want to start a conversation with them? Because if I don't think that I can help them or they can help me, then I don't want to waste their time or mine. So I want to make sure they're qualified. I know who my target market is. Cool. Like, let me go just say, hey, notice that you checked out my profile. I saw, right? Like I can comment on their tagline or something that I found in their like in their profile as like kind of fodder to start the conversation. But I've done this with literally just saying like, hey, saw you checked out my profile. I did the same. You opened to connecting. And that's still, it definitely anything that's customized will convert at a higher rate. But that message alone like can account for a significant amount of new connections who are relevant because they viewed your profile and you qualified them as someone who you want to be connected with.
And that doesn't come across as like awkward. They're like, oh man, he saw me looking at his profile.
I've like... Yeah, it's funny because it feels awkward, right? Like, and I thought this too before I even started. And then I started doing it and no one said anything to me. No one said anything to me. And then one person actually did say something about it, but it was more of the fact that like, hey, like, I really love the way that you did this. I've like always wanted to do it, but felt it was creepy for me to reach out to people. But now seeing you do it, like, it's really not that bad. So it's funny, right? Like it's like in our head, like it feels weird. Like it's like, oh, you're creeping on me. But like there's so many analytics tools out there. And especially like as a marketer, like I know like everything that's going on behind the scenes. True. So like, it's like, as long as you're genuine, as long as you're a human being, and this goes for really anything across the board, people are okay with it. So.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So you've made a connection, whether it's through content that you've posted and they've commented on, or, you know, you've get some sort of conversation starter based upon similarities. So when do you dive in with the sell? No, so when do you go?
I don't. That's my secret. Don't.
So explain to us, Dan, like how then do you kind of get to the point where you're like, okay, I can help you. Maybe you can help me, you know, that point of the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. So, and that was the biggest thing I struggled with. And that's why I think it took me real solid 3 years to kind of figure out how this system works. But essentially what I've developed is the three-step no pitch framework. So, because I had that same question, right? Like, cool, I can have, and I wasted a lot of times, like I would talk to people for a week, right? Because I'm like, I log in the morning and then I'm kind of like done, right? So I sometimes have conversations for like weeks with people because by the time they get back to me and then I get back to them and then like one of us drops off and then we pick the conversation back up, you know, I can go on forever and ever and ever. So I'm like, where's the balance? How am I focused on building this relationship, but also making sure that there's positive outcomes for both of us? I don't want to waste their time or mine. So the three-step pitch-free framework was really designed to say, well, all right, well, how do I minimize the amount of time that I have to talk to this person, but help them realize like, hey, you seem cool, right? Like you seem cool. I think that it would be beneficial for us to connect and like, let's see where it goes. So it's like, how do I kind of hyper shorten that process? And I think he even called it like the I'm cool, you're cool, like factor. And it's just like, if you both kind of have the vibe of like, hey, I really like this person and I feel like we'd get along, then most likely they feel the same way. So if I just throw it out there and I'm like, hey, like, would you be down to chat? Like, and I do this sometimes like after just two or three back and forths, right? Like nice intro. Like I get to ask another question, learn a little bit more about them. I've heard them, so I know that they're like it. There's some sort of opportunity for us to work together in some sort of capacity. So I'm like, why not? Let's just hop on it. Rather than me try and like question you and make me feel like I'm interrogating you, like let's just hop on a call, right? Like let's get to know each other. If nothing comes out of it, then no big deal. So then I started booking a bunch of networking calls that ended up going nowhere. And I was like, all right, well, like, where am I going with this? How do I figure this out, right? So I started figuring out, well, okay, I need to have extreme structure within this call, right? I need to turn this, I set up this casual call. I can't kind of like do a bait and switch and try and turn it into a sales call. That's never going to work. So I need to have this call be focused on an introduction, us just networking, finding opportunities to work together. So I started outlining, well, how can I actually help this person? And I made a short list of like three things, like here are the things that I can do to help you. Because what I noticed is like, I'd be on these calls and everyone would ask the same question. So how can I help you, right? Everyone just wants to help each other out. And every time I tried to answer that question, I was like, well, I don't want you to help me. I want to help you. So it like got to this weird point, mm-hmm. right? Like I was like, here are the things I can help you. So rather than getting into that point, I was like, all right, I'm going to have an extreme structure to my call. And I learned this from like sales processes and actually like doing homework and like buying courses and hiring coaches and all these things. But I said, how do I take the bits and pieces that actually advance the conversation, but don't make it feel like I'm pushing someone into trying to buy stuff from me, right? So basically hop on a call, set up the agenda right off from the bat. Hey, awesome. You know, super glad we got a chance to connect. We've got 30 minutes. So I really just wanted to kind of, you know, sit down, share my story, hear a little bit more about you. So that way we kind of get to know each other a little bit better. And then like the last 5 minutes, just go through like how we might be able to help each other out in the future and what next steps look like. How does that sound to you? So I'm doing a couple things here. I'm basically setting up the structure for the call to set expectations to know like, all right, here's like how this call can be mutually beneficial. I'm also asking them like, are you okay with this? Does this sound good to you? So they get a chance to agree and buy into it, right? And say like, because if people agree upfront, they're more likely to follow through. And then the third thing is there anything that they wanted to cover, right? I don't want to try and like command this call. This is a mutual call. So what do you want to get out of this call? Let's agree, establish like what we both want to get out of this call up front so we can make this the most productive 30 minutes we have together. So then we dive into it. We spend some time. Like, right, like I'm going to, exactly like I just did when, like at the beginning of this podcast, I introduced myself, right? That's my founder's story. That's the same story that I tell to every single person that I meet, because it helps me describe who I am, where I've come from, and what I do today and how I help people. So it's this very non-invasive way of me being able to share, like, hey, this is what I'm an expert in and how I think I can help you, without me trying to like push my services or product down someone's throat. At that same time, I'm getting to hear about their story and what they do. And I can use this as an opportunity to actually qualify them, because I've already looked at their profile. I know demographically they have the right job title. They're based in the right location. They have the right amount of work experience, you know, whatever kind of T's you have to cross and I's you have to dot in order to get to this point. But demographics are one thing. And then there's the whole thing of psychographics. Cool. This person is my ideal client, but do they actually need my help right now? Are they struggling to do X, Y, Z? Are they really excited about accomplishing this, but I think I can help them get there faster, right? So you're using this, you're just having a conversation. They're kind of spilling the beans and letting you know, like, here's what I'm focused on. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm excited about. So you can use all those things to help you kind of identify, all right, I, from the very start of this call, I wanted to get three things. Here are three ways that I think I can help this person. In them telling me their story, I've already kind of crossed off one or two of those. So there's really only one thing I think I can truly help this person with. So when you kind of get to the end of that call, you're starting to wrap up. Now you know exactly what you need to do. And then you say, here is the way that I think I can help you. And it has to be value driven. It has to be like, right? Like, here is how I think I can help you. There's no strings attached. There's no nothing, right? So usually that's like a lead magnet or an introduction to someone or whatever you can do, right? And I started doing this and it started working really well, but I still kind of like had this gap missing. I was like, there's still like a final piece missing. And it really was like, there does need to be a sales component of it, but it can't be a part of that networking call. So I was like, all right, well, I need to move them into a sales call, but just me giving them like a free guide or something isn't really enticing enough for them to want to be like, yeah, I'd actually like to learn more about your service, right? I'm still kind of having that hard step into like, all right, now we're moving over to a sales conversation. So I was like, all right, well, what do I do next, right? Like, how do I still make this kind of like a smooth transition into being focused around helping you? Here's exactly how I do it, and enticing them to say like, I'm willing to invest in something like that. So really it's about kind of creating a subtle kind of like onboarding experience, right? Like, so what you're doing is you're offering something of value, whether that be like and I've done this a number of different ways. I've done it with like a social media audit, or Aaron, you and I have even done like I sat down and did like a profile review with you. So there's a lot of ways that you can offer something for free, right? And don't just call it, like, a lot of people make the mistake with calling it like a free consult, but like everyone offers a free consult. So it has to be something specific, it has to be branded, right? Like, I'm going to, I think I used to call it like my LinkedIn profile teardown, right? Like, so it was this branded experience. It was this, you know, like a checklist of the things that I'm going to walk you through. Here's exactly what we're going to do together on the next call. And here's what you're going to get out of it. And hey, it's not going to cost you anything, but if you choose to move forward, here's what's kind of those next steps are. So what you're doing is you're actually like making them become a client for free. You're starting to walk them through your onboarding process without any commitment to them, while providing a deliverable that they can take home, something that they can physically, right? Like, here was the value. You can't see me because we're not sharing video, but like, I'm holding something in my hands metaphorically, right? Here is something of value that I took away from this conversation, this discovery call, this third step, the sales call. So that's what you kind of have to use as your call to action, right? Like, you're DMing people, hey, you seem cool, let's chat. You hop on a call, you get to know them a little bit better. Here's how I think I can help you. It's this really cool process. It's going to only take you 60 minutes. We're just going to sit down. I'm going to give you X, Y, Z. And at the end, you're going to have this deliverable that you can take home. Whether you choose to work with me or not after that is totally up to you. But no matter what, you are going to get something of value that you can take away. And by doing this, you are literally walking people into making this decision, because now it's like, I have this cool thing. I really want to do it. I've spent a lot of time with Dan, but I don't have the time to do it myself. I'd rather just pay you to do it. So it takes this entire journey of not knowing someone into building a relationship and adding value to them, to the point where they can't see work, like not having that value continuing being on with you. Mm-hmm. So it's this really kind of seamless, cool process. It took me a long time to figure out.
No, but it makes a ton of sense, you know, because then you're creating that trust factor, you're increasing your camaraderie, they're getting, you know, a deeper look into what you can do, and it's becoming more obvious to them of how, you know, you might be able to help them as well. And, you know, and I'm assuming it's like, pick something that's like semi-automated or semi, you know, that you've like figured out so that it's something that's not going to like take up a ton of your time, right? You know, so something that's like you're giving it away for free. So it's got to be something that's pretty turnkey, you know, for your business, right?
Yeah. The whole process really has to become that way, right? Like to the very first message that you send, right? Like if I have, and I like to customize them, but I always have my template, right? So the same thing I said with connecting with profile views. Hey, so you checked out my profile. I did the same. You opened to connecting, and I can customize that and make them better and increase my conversion rate. But I always have that go-to. That's stamped in my head. I can type that out without thinking about it. Someone comments on my post. Hey, thanks for the comment. You opened to connecting. Again, I can customize that, make it better, and increase my odds of having a better conversation and the likelihood that they'll respond to it. But right, like it's my go-to. I have it stuck in my head. Boom, it's there, ready to go. The same thing. Exactly why the introduction call is always the same. You have your like, hey, here's what we're going to cover on this call. Here's the introductions and here's the takeaways from that call. The discovery call, that third step of the process, same thing every single time, right? You're going to kind of pull them into the call. You're going to walk them through the process. You're going to offboard them, give them a deliverable and tell them exactly what next steps they can take from there. Even the follow-up messages that you send, you want to make sure that all of this is repeatable. So it's got to be something that can be done on the call itself. So if you have like a template that you can just like, boom, copy and paste, bring it up, share your screen, you literally fill it out on the call with them. And if it maybe takes 5, 10, 15 minutes after the call to kind of wrap up and send over, that's kind of where you want to cap out. You don't want to spend an hour on a call with someone and then 3 hours either like preparing the report before the call and then afterwards, because that's just way too time consuming, right? So it's always about like the most efficient way through this entire process is being able to build a structure that you can use over and over and over again, but have the flexibility to adjust your message or your the way that you present it based on the person that you're working with.
No, this is gold. And thank you so much for getting super specific. I love it when, you know, that's why like I choose my guests wisely, because I know that people are not going to just be like, you know, do fluff, you know, like, oh,
you should post 5 times a week.
And right? Exactly. I'm like, oh God, if I never hear that again. So I really, really appreciate it.
I'm trying to post less now. I'm like, how, right? Going back to efficiencies, mm-hmm. like if I move from 5 posts a week to 3 posts a week, what happens? What happens to my views? What happens to my traffic? What happens to the amount of calls that mm-hmm. I can book? Can I get away with doing less? So like, I'm always about, how can I make it more efficient?
Exactly. You know, because why? It's like if you're, you know, some people are like, I post every single day. And I'm like, awesome. How's that working for you? Like, besides like eating up your time. If it works, great. But yeah, no, I love that. You're just kind of like experimenting to see what works. So where can people find you online if they want to work with you, find more information, especially about this pitch-free framework that you went over? Do you have that somewhere where people can grab info about it?
Yeah, definitely. So the best place to connect with me would be my obvious choice for social media. So on LinkedIn, I am one of several Dan Motts. I connected with all the other Dan Motts I could find on LinkedIn years ago. I still don't know what I'm going to do with that, but I'm going to do something fun with that eventually. But you should be able to easily find me because Erin and I are connected, so you'll see our mutual connection. My background is, we're not sharing screen, but a bunch of books in the background. DM me and told me that you found me through Erin, and I respond to every single one, every person that DMs me, unless you send me a crappy sales pitch. So you can DM me, ask any questions, feel free to reach out. I also have, you could links to my website as well as I have a free guide. And both in there will kind of like start to walk you through that framework. But the full framework, everything step by step, is built out in my course called the LinkedIn Social Selling Playbook.
Awesome. So on the show notes, we'll include a link to your LinkedIn page as well as your website if you'll get more info. So there's something that we ask every single guest at the end of every single discussion, which is if you could only listen to one music artist for the rest of your life, who would it be?
Oh my God, that's the worst question ever.
I know,
I'm a jerk. I'm like weird. I get into these modes where I like exclusively listen to one artist or sometimes even like the same like songs just over and over and over mm-hmm. again. And then I get bored of it and then I move on. Right. So what I would say today wouldn't be the same like a year from now. I really, really love a band called Moon Hooch. Oh. They started off as like street performers in New York City. It's two saxophonists and a drummer. They call it cave music, but I just call it like, the best way to describe it is basically acoustic like house music.
I'm going to have to check that out.
It's like techno on like saxophones. It's really cool.
Oh my gosh, I have to check that out because my son plays sax and then Joey plays the drums. So I'm like, I'm all over it. I'm like, I check it out. And we have a playlist, the Small Business Big Mindset playlist, where I add the music that everybody says to this question to the playlist. And I can tell you that band is not a part of it yet. So I will add it.
Yeah. All of a sudden you're going to be like listening down this playlist and like, there, you know, there might be like a little bit of like different. And then all of a sudden, like, you're just going to hear like screeching horns and you're like, wait a second. Let's go.
Hold on. Okay. So this is supposed to be background music while I'm working. Like, nope. Sorry.
That's yeah. Right. All right. Hold on. I need to stop working and I need to start dancing. Hold
yeah,
on
exactly. It's like your break time music. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time. I had such a blast chatting with you today. You shared so much amazing things that we can actually implement and take action on.
Awesome. I always love hanging out with you, Erin. So thankful that you, to be able to come on and hang out and talk about LinkedIn social selling, because you do know it's one of my favorite things and I could talk about it all day.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for tuning in to the Small Business Big Mindset podcast. To keep the fun going, check out our Facebook group, Start and Scale an Online Business, for even more free trainings and resources from fellow entrepreneurs. If you haven't already, head on over to musclecreative.com and click subscribe to join our email list for our weekly updates. And if you've enjoyed this podcast episode, check us out on your favorite podcast platform to follow us and give us a review. As always, be authentic, bring an insane amount of value, and keep crushing it.